Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I am your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first, I'd like to introduce to you our guest that we have with us tonight, Janie Lynn Smith. And Janie is a business alchemist and a wealth consciousness revolutionary. She is a clairvoyant, clairaudient, psychic, and practices the gift of alchemy, which means she can literally create something from nothing. And welcome to the show, Janie. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. So alchemy is the whole idea behind manifesting something from nothing is really a, you know, a fascinating part of the physical world. And what can you tell us about when you say you can create something from nothing? Is that literally in the moment? You can just literally create something from nothing?
Yes. The thing with alchemy is it can only be accomplished when it's done from the heart space of love. So alchemy cannot occur from the space of fear. So what it requires is basically functioning from the heart, which keeps it keeps you in tune with your true essence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I find it really fascinating because I've actually have been a witness to it once, and I had another friend when Stephanie literally manifested a camera manual that we did not have, but she wanted. All of a sudden,
that was really cool.
It was on the table, and we're like, "Oh my God, we've been wanting this for 2 years, and all of a sudden, it's here."
So, what actually happens? I'm sorry to interrupt, Dave, but what actually happens when something like that happens? Like, what's going on?
Like with myself?
No.
Just with alchemy,
with me.
In general. With manifestation in that way.
When that manual manifested, literally was not there. There's some things, you know, you're just absolutely 100% certain on, and other things, there's always a possibility that maybe you kind of forgot that something was actually there or whatever. This wasn't like that. There was no manual, and then there was a manual. So in your experience,
yeah,
what's happening?
Well, so when your manual showed up, was there like zero resistance?
Oh yeah, and
because
it was
usually what happens. Yeah, beliefs get in the way, perceptions get in the way, points of views get in the way, and then things like you can ask for things all day long, but they can't show up because there's a disbelief and a disharmony in there somewhere.
Right. Exactly. I agree with you 100%. And it always seems as though when synchronistic events like that happen, that there's no conscious expectation about actually manifesting that.
Exactly. Yeah. In my case, what happens is like, I see it. Like, you know, when somebody talks to me about something, it's like a movie's going on in my head. I can see the whole thing. So, there'll be times when I have an awareness and I'll see, and then, I'll speak it. So like I was talking to my friend the other day, I was trying to book an appointment with her, and, she kept messaging me, and she's like, well, I can't do it at this time because I just got another call and now I have another appointment, so I have to move it to this time. And I could see like what her business was doing and how her day was going to go. And so I messaged her and I said, I'm just saying you're going to get some more. And as soon as I sent that message, she got more phone calls. And she goes, wow. She goes, I did. I booked them for tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that's such a good example, right?
Yeah.
So how does that mix in with, how does sort of coming back to your connection, how you're connecting alchemy with business? As a business owner, so I have about 30 employees, a landscape business, landscape design and installation business, and there's 30 of us working together. How, whether you're talking about a small business or whether you're talking medium size or large business, how do you incorporate the idea of alchemy into a successful business? Because I know that's something that you do.
Yeah. So, like, everything is a vibration. You're a physical being that has a certain vibration, and your business is kind of physical and energetic, kind of a being that has its energetic vibration. And so you as the human being gave birth to your business. So there is an, like, an energetic umbilical cord between you and your business. And generally what happens is when you create a business, it's based on something that lights you up, something that really creates happiness within you in one form or another. So when there's blocks in your energetic cord between you and your business, I can tell where those are, whether it's with a person that you've hired or whether it's with something that needs tweaking, whether it's like the way you're wording things or being when you go to make sales, things like that. So things, sometimes all it takes is just an energetic shift or a tweak. And where I have the most fun is, you know, have you heard of like, distance healing on people?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that seems to be one of my biggest capacities. So it's like, because the business is vibration, not because, but you can communicate with everything. If that makes sense, everything has a way of communicating. So whether it's talking to animals or talking to your house or, doing distance healing and talking to somebody's, energetic being, things like that, your business is no different. It's just that there's a perception that it's a separate thing, and that it's not energetic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really you're working with the relationship between the person and their business, in a sense, on an energetic level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And a lot of times what I found is that problems with the business are never actually business problems. They're an issue or a block or a belief or something with the business owner that's creating the static.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we're learning as well in terms of, you know, the reflection of life. It's always reflecting back to you what your issues are, in a sense, or where you're at. So it is so you just make it, it's really easy for you to identify based on what's happening to them, where their issues lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the other piece that I do, is all energetically go in, like I was going to do distance healing on a person, mm-hmm. and, clear the energy. And it's really fun. And 'cause for me, it's like, you know, if somebody was watching me doing it, it would look like I was sleeping or closing my eyes for a second or something. So that's, it looks like I'm doing nothing, but then, and this was kind of fun, so I'll share it. So I have a friend that, is a channeler and he lives in Ireland, and we had been chatting about business stuff off and on and things like that. And he had been pretty slow with clients and whatnot. And I was going about my day and I got a hit on something and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I'm not even exactly cognitively sure what I did. But I had a conversation with his business and he messaged me and he got, 6 new paying clients that day.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's how the alchemy shows up.
Right.
And sometimes I think yeah. it's really a matter of just paying attention, just mm-hmm. paying attention to those to those, as you say, hits and those little moments of recognition where you, you know, you're all of a sudden someone or something is in your awareness, and rather than just sloughing it off and, you know, putting a little bit of thought and heartfelt feeling into that moment and actually utilizing it to the best of your abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the same thing applies. Like, you know, if one of my clients would ask me, okay, can you tune in to my employees and see, you know, what's going on there? I have before gotten hits on things pretty big, like, you need to get rid of your bookkeeper now.
Right. Oh yeah, that would be a big one.
Some definitive answers then, basically.
We'll have to have a chat after the show.
Right?
Do a little Trey, little Solly for a little Jamie.
Right? Yeah.
I have people. Absolutely. when I say Solly, there's background there. You should just explain that a little bit. When I was at a retreat just quickly doing a Solomon session a couple weekends ago or last weekend or something, and one of the girls had been to 3 or 4 Solomon sessions, and afterwards she came up and she's like, so do you think that you can ask Solly a couple questions for me?
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from. That was the first time I've heard you express it that way, for sure.
I kind of liked it. So you talk a lot about intuition, and I know that that's sort of like this word that many people describe in different ways and have a different idea of. What's your idea of intuition, and how would you advise people to utilize and to recognize their intuition?
So my awareness of it is it's different for everybody, but the easiest way probably to describe it would be your gut feeling. Because that's most of the time where people feel it. I have noticed, though, that it's shifting from a gut feeling to a heart feeling.
I agree with that. Too. Totally. And
yeah, I feel it in my heart for sure.
Yeah. A lot of people that are super conscious and aware will feel it in their heart. And they'll feel like, you know, sometimes when they're picking up on sadness, they'll feel like a heartache. Mm-hmm. Or like they say, well, my heart hurts. Or something like that. Or because your heart is the center where you feel everything. So I'm actually really excited about it shifting from a gut feeling to a heart feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for me, like, you know, sometimes I'll see a word, sometimes I'll see a number, sometimes I'll see a picture. And it's one of the things that I was actually programmed and taught to shut off for most of my life.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, most people for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, usually by the time a person is between the age of 5 and 7, it's almost completely shut off, mm-hmm. depending on their parents.
Right.
And the people that they're being raised by.
I was fortunate that way. My mom always, always, always said, follow your gut feeling, and she'd point right to my gut and she'd poke me. Follow your gut feeling. If you're ever in question, follow your gut feeling. I think it was the most important lesson she ever taught us as kids.
Yeah, I didn't receive that, so it's taken a while.
Yeah, I didn't receive that either. I tell you what, though, I did teach that to my kids.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And well, once you recognize the fact that that the blueprint to your entire, your life plan lies within that initial sensory before the thought, it's hard not to try and teach that to everybody, you know? If you never want to go wrong, want to be steered wrong, listen to that initial sensation.
Exactly. And your intuition is actually the voice of your soul. And your soul is, you know, you call it many names, but it's your true essence, your true spark, it's your inner being, whatever you want to call it. So when your true essence is speaking to you, that's where you get your intuition. And when you shut that off, it creates so much wonkiness in your life and physically with your body too. So you see people that are, you know, addicted to things, or they're in depression, or they're in anxiety, they're in all these labeled physical ailments, you know, even cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's just a space where they've shut off their true essence, and they are really, really trying to not be aware of it. And your physical body only takes so much of that, because your physical body is a vibrational being. Uh-huh. It's, you know, here to create.
Yeah.
So that's when, you know, disease shows up and things like that, because your body's trying to get your attention to say, hey, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. I was having that discussion with a friend yesterday. She kept getting ill over and over and over again, and then would get over it and get ill again. I'm like, well, you know what? You have to look at that as a message, and perhaps it's your body's telling you to sit down and really listen to, you know, your inner state, your inner being, getting in tune with that. Because it's nothing major, and she keeps getting over it, but it's constantly coming back.
So she's not actually getting over it. It's just hiding for
a
little
different
while.
Ailment each time, though, right?
Right.
So just like, based on what we experienced through Steph's journey, that was my recommendation anyways, to just start taking time for yourself and see if it vanishes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because meditation is actually a key part to tuning into your inner being. And that's actually nothing more than quieting your mind. There's kind of a big stigma on, ooh, I don't have time to meditate, because, you know, you have to be in the right spot, and you have to be wearing the right clothes, and you have to be, you know, listening to the right thing, or doing... standing on your head, you know, but that's not actually true. You can just stand still for 60 seconds and be like, okay, I'm tuning in.
Or even walking, if you're walking somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it mm-hmm. can be a completely physical meditation. Like you say, it's just about quieting the mind and listening to what's behind it. Listen to your body, your inner being, your higher self.
And then I think you get mm-hmm. to a point, too, where it becomes just all automatic. And people will say second nature. Well, I don't really buy that. I think it's your first nature. It's that part of you that you...
Exactly.
Right? You came in here with that. So it's not second nature. We've just think it is, because we've become so habitual as creatures. But eventually you become
on autopilot.
Right. And then you start learning, and you start practicing, and you start listening, and you start experimenting, and then you start seeing the results. And then after a time, you begin to develop a new habit of listening to your intuition, allowing that to take the driver's seat. And then it just becomes something that you do. You don't even have to stop. You can do it while you're working with your employees. You can do it while you're in the grocery store or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does that play into, let's talk about money, because we all want money, because you know, we're spiritual people.
Very cool.
And we need money
we're
too.
We're spiritual people and we want to get paid.
Well, truth be told.
Oh, that's awesome. So on the money note, how all of this plays into that is, basically, bottom line is, the reason that you want money in the first place is to feel good, to be happy, and freedom. Mm-hmm. And there's an underlying belief there that unless you have the money, you can't have the first two. If that makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yes.
Well, actually makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it makes no sense, but I understand exactly that that's the paradigm that a lot of us are living in for sure.
Yeah, so it's while trying to be conscious and a healer and being super aware at the same time that your money isn't exactly where you want it to be. And then underlying, you know, subconsciously, there's a belief that you're not going to be happy or get to have what you want until X shows up. And when you can switch that to, I'm going to choose happiness and joy no matter what. I'm going to find things to do that give me that feeling of freedom no matter what. And I care about how I feel now in the moment no matter what. And that releases your resistance of this drastic need to have all this stuff to create that first. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And like you had said, if you're hanging on to any idea of lack, anything that's not within your realm, with not coming to you, it's going to constantly create that resistance and not allow it to come to you.
Yeah, it creates a discord in your harmony. And so when that's there, it's like what you're asking for is sitting there waiting for you to let go of that so you can actually receive it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. That's so true. And I know that's one thing that we definitely talk about when we're talking to clients or groups, and Solomon brings it up as well. It's, you know, be really conscientious of what it is that you're paying attention to and what you're giving your energy to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're giving,
and what I teach my clients too is, because some of that is such a programmed lack mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them actually physically do something that will get their mind chatter to either quiet or to shift. Because if, you know, my perspective is, if I'm going to have mind chatter, I would rather have positive stuff going through my head on loops than something that is creating feelings of frustration and anger and not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have them turn on, like, their favorite songs, you know, Abraham Hicks, something.
Solomon.
Solomon, now, yes. Because I've just been introduced to Solomon, so yes, we will
just
be adding that as well.
It's actually Sully.
Sully, listen to Sully. So to physically do something to create a shift now in the moment is super important, because that will get you out of that pattern that you're actually trying to stop.
Hmm. And I think
that
absolutely, yeah. I think that's where mantras and affirmations come into play.
They help.
Like, I don't think that they have really the capacity to sort of take it to the distance, but especially when you're first starting to change your perspective on things and to change your habitual patterns of how you're thinking and speaking and reacting and all that kind of thing, I think they're really important at the beginning. I did that, and just after my accident, I realized, whoa, this is a lot of unhealthy noise going through my head. So I would just recite little passages that I'd been channeling that I would say out loud at first, because I had to, otherwise I would lose my train of thought and I'd start thinking about all the things I had to do and all the things, you know, all the stuff that brings you down.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because I almost forgot it. So there's a piece that goes on when you sing things, your conscious mind believes what you sing, because there's a connection to the heart. It creates a harmonic vibration. So when you're speaking things out loud, that creates a harmonic vibration as well. And so that is a very, very powerful tool to shift and change your patterns, is to actually speak it or sing it.
Right. Okay, good. I didn't actually realize that in terms of why it was powerful. I just felt like it was. And oftentimes, it obviously wasn't when I was standing in the middle of a store, like, you know.
I am beautiful. Right. I am beautiful.
It would be more, especially when I was driving. I found when I was driving to work, that would be sort of my time to gear up and set myself up for the day. And that's when I would do a lot of recitals to myself, or on the way home, or just in those moments. And then I would sort of get into the habit of, when I was around other people and I needed to kind of bring myself back, I would just then recite them in my head and hope that nobody noticed when I was trying to carry on a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, we're out of time for this portion of our program.
Darn.
Do you want to let our audience know where they can find you and your services and anything that you'd like to get out there?
Yes. So all three of those books can be found on Amazon.com. I can also be found on my website, that is DaneyLynnSmith.com. I am on Facebook a lot, and my handle for Facebook is the Janie Health Coach. Email is always a good way to get a hold of me as well, and that's energetichealthcoach@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Awesome.
I'll be using it.
And all that information will be available on our Spiritually Naked page as well. But everyone stay tuned, and we'll be back with Solomon. The fact is that life as we experience it just isn't working for billions of people. We are a species driven by limiting beliefs that often take us in a direction away from our conscious desires, both individually and collectively. We are trapped in a prison of limiting beliefs about how to create joy and happiness in our lives. In order to alter our course and begin to align with our conscious desires, we need to shift our perceptions to a new level of consciousness. So how do we do this? Rob Williams has given us the gift of change through a process called Psyche. Psyche is a high-speed form of accelerating the evolution of human consciousness and is a safe and effective way to access and rewrite our self-limiting beliefs. My name is Stephen Banks and I'm a Psyche facilitator. To learn more about this process, visit my website at www.balancingbeliefs.com.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in your space, in this reality that you're currently residing in. We come to you with a mutual understanding and a mutual respect for one another that we are here to support each other on our journeys. For just as much as you feel as though we are here to support you, you are supporting us. Therefore, we would like to take a moment to say thank you, to show our appreciation for your love for us, for your trust in us, for your sincerity, for your generosity in sharing your energetic space and vibration with us in this moment, in this time, on this day. We would like to invite you at this time to put forth any questions or queries that you may have, and we will do our best to appease your curiosities.
Awesome. Thank you, Solomon.
Yes.
So I have a question about feminine cycles. So myself, for instance, right now, I'm experiencing, I had a lot of stress for a lot of years in a marriage, which is no longer. And so what seems to be like a residual effect is having my cycle all the time and off of it a little bit. And I'm doing a lot of tuning in and inner work and connecting with my true essence and my inner being. And so for myself, I'm a little confused as to why the cycle thing is still showing up when I don't have the same like anxiety attached to the situation as I did before, if that makes sense.
Well, first of all, we would like to go back to the beginning of your statement and recognize that although it appears as though it is a feminine cycle, it is a masculine and feminine cycle. You may look at that as a very physical understanding in terms of the idea that the male beings on your planet that have incarnated as male beings are in fact affecting your personal cycle and those of the other females around you. This can be an energetic vibration that is exchanging in close proximity, and it can also be an energetic vibration that is presenting itself from more distance. Does this make sense? We can also go so far as to say that the cycle is masculine and feminine in the sense that you are masculine and femininity put together, although more prominently a female in this idea of this lifetime. Yes?
Yeah.
Therefore, we would just like to make that clarification for the purpose of understanding on a deeper level what is actually transpiring during your cycle. In terms of how your cycle is connected to relationships of the past, relationships of the present, and relationships to come, whether or not you are experiencing the physical anxieties, the physical representations of what you deem to be a problem is not necessarily what is going on an energetic level. Of course, there is a connection. Right. And of course, there will be physicalities that play out in regards to different experiences based on different vibrations. But you can be having an energetic exchange of sorts that is presenting itself in different ways. In other words, in this particular instant, your cycle is being affected by the cycle of others based on your close proximity to them. And we would suggest finding a way in which you can, let's say, and we don't use this word lightly because we don't want you to misunderstand what we're saying, but we're going to say it anyways because this is how you will understand what we're trying to get at, to separate yourself, to segregate yourself. Yes, we understand there is some confusion with us even using those words, but we're using them. To separate mm-hmm. yourself from the energetic vibration that is associated with problems of others. So as a healer, as a teacher, as a student still of the universal ways, you are still imbalanced in the sense that you are taking on the issues, the problems of those you are coming across for the purpose of trying to enable them to better their own lives, but at the cost of your own physical well-being.
Okay.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Because my next question actually was, I was contemplating the idea of actually doing like a partial hysterectomy.
Yes. Sometimes we are not in discord to the idea of slowing down certain processes that have become out of whack, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, if we may, there is also the idea of shedding the layers. And as you have experienced in the past few years, energetic quantum shifts, yes?
Yeah.
You are also going through the physical representation of that, which is literally shedding the layers, shedding the layers, shedding the layers. In your case, coming out as an extended cycle. But yes, we understand this would become annoying. This would become frustrating. This would also get to the point of lowering your energetic levels, yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Moving.
Yeah, for sure.
Moving forward, understanding your own self a little bit better for the purpose of defining your own personal responsibilities to taking on the energetic frequencies of others, allowing, in other words, the energy to continuously flow in a rhythm that is best suited to your own energetic well-being. There is a point in that energetic flow between you and others, specifically speaking, you and others that have been, let's say, in disharmony with one another. There is an energetic blockage of sorts, although it's not necessarily a blockage. It is more of a different vibration that is happening on a particular level caused as a result from the, let's say, harbored feelings still on a level that is coming at you from a subconscious state of being. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. So how do I like shift that or let it go?
You consciously decide that now that you have the awareness that all it is a shift in how you're receiving and exchanging energy, literally envisioning those energetic exchanges that are still happening regardless of proximity between you and others, you and other human beings that you have encountered in the past that have left some ritual effect on you. Yes, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Taking that vision of that energetic exchange and allowing it to just flow through you continuously without allowing any ill feelings to stop within your field. Yes? We understand it's not as easy as it seems, but with some practice, with some awareness, with some understanding of how this is going to affect you physically, you will come to a place of understanding that what we're saying is literally a change in mindset, a change in heart pace, a change in energetic frequency that will allow the continuous flow of energy. There will be nothing holding you back. There will be nothing creating those blockages, which then push out within you, literally push out within you, the layers from a physical level that you are trying to shed. We are saying you can do this from an energetic level with less discomfort.
That would be much easier.
Yes, we know. But oftentimes, many of you decide to take the harder route, the more complicated path. Yeah. But this is part of being a human being. So we are here to help guide you with this. And hopefully within this conversation, there is a shift in your perception and how it can be literally that easy.
Well, and my awareness as you were talking is that's the same thing. It's got the same vibrational energy as to money blocks as well.
All of them.
Was my awareness. Is that correct?
Yes. They're all the same. It is all the same concept. It doesn't matter okay. whether you're talking about ill feelings for other people, whether it's talking about your lack of confidence in your own abilities to be guided and diverted down different paths for different reasons at different times. There's no difference between understanding your own well-being, your own, let's use the word, you're entitled to be whole. You are entitled to be abundant. You are entitled to have energetic flowing, the energetic vibrations flowing freely through you. This is part of who you are. This is your essence. This is your spirit. This is your soul. What prevents those mm-hmm. from coming within your grasp is your own blockages that have been created from simply being a human being. So therefore, go back a little bit to being a spiritual being, which we know you are. We know that all of you are. But there are different mm-hmm. experiences in all of your lives, individually and collectively, that create limitations, restrictions, blockages in your energetic flow. And in order to really truly be whole and abundant and free and liberated is to be able to come to that point where there is no reason for anyone in any particular experience to block your energetic flow. There is no reason for that. You are setting mm-hmm. that up for yourself.
Yeah. Like the whole self-sabotage type thing.
Yes. What was the past is the past. What is now is now. How do you feel about the now? We know you got that dialed, but how do you really truly feel about the past? Do you feel, when you think about your past experiences, do you really truly honestly feel the same way as you do right now in this moment? To get those blockages released, you need to get to that point.
Ah, okay.
In other words, practice what you preach.
Yes.
Yes. And we say this lovingly. We say this lovingly. Yeah. We're not implying that you are being hypocritical in your behaviors. We're implying that there is the awareness there, yet there are certain relationships from your past that you are still not quite there yet. And that is okay as well. But when you do get to that point, then you will be at the point of physical liberation where your physical body will be representing wholly and completely your release of those feelings that still harbor some disharmony within your energetic field. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would that be the space that, like, for others that might be having the same thing going on in their life, would that be where you could get to the place where you're forgiving everything in your past and having gratitude for it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And not to forget the importance of forgiving oneself for their own participation in past relationships.
Yes.
This is where the biggest blocks occur. Not so much in the harbored feelings for another individual, but more about the feelings of guilt and regret of one's own interactions, one's own reactions and responses to situations. And again, yeah. we come back okay. to this idea of it's all okay. There is no right yeah. or no wrong, although as human beings, this is how things are defined, right and wrong, positive, negative. Past, present, future. We are here to say it is really all just one. There is no, the neutral point, the equilibrium of life itself is the understanding that there is no up and down. There is no north and south. There is no right or wrong. Therefore, if you come to the understanding and you know this in your energetic field, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in all aspects of who you are, that there is no right or wrong, there is no negative positive experience, although it seems that way, from an energetic level, it isn't that way, then it is much easier to just take experiences as they come and to make choices in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment of that are reflective of how you would prefer to feel. Not for the purpose of making it right or better, but for the purpose of feeling how you want to feel. So there is a difference there. Do you see this?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted to ask a question about like twin flame soulmates.
Twin flame soulmates, it's all, again, it's all one. You are all soulmates with one another. Each and every one of you is a soulmate with everyone. Yet as human beings experiencing life on Earth, there will be certain connections that appear to be stronger, that in technical human terms are stronger based on past experiences with these individuals, based on historical data, based on historical energetic frequencies that are bound. And let's see, we don't like the word bound. Bound to us implies an end point. Yes. Being bound to something is not a liberated, expanded energetic word.
No. Sounds like ball and chain bound.
Yes, not the word we're looking for, yet one that creates the imagery that we would like, is that understanding that all of you are essentially bound to one another from a free flowing energetic space. Does this make sense?
Yeah, so kind of in essence, like a twin flame soulmate would be one that is...
One that you have had more experiences alignment. With. One that you have had more experiences with. One that you have participated in life experiences, non-physical experiences at a deeper level with. So if you can imagine the proximity between Earth and the planets, think of yourselves the same way. It's based on a proximity to that energetic vibration. So at some point along the way we read the energy of the planet now, there will come a point where there is no segregation, there is no differentiation between the energetic vibration, the proximity of one soul to another. It will all be equal. Yes? Are you following?
Yeah.
But right now, in terms of the evolutionary process of being a spiritual being, a human being, there is still the idea of proximity. So when you're talking about a soulmate, a soul sister, a soul brother, you're literally talking about your historical data, your historical connection to that individual.
Okay.
Does this make sense?
And sometimes that could be like this lifetime or other lifetimes.
It always is this lifetime and other. And not necessarily confined to the planet Earth.
Yeah.
We're talking more expanded than that, more universal than that. But yes, oftentimes it is the experience of being a human being multiple times with another human being in close proximity to with the idea of knowing each other on a deep, intimate level. Yes?
Yes.
And there are occasions when you encounter a, let's say, quote unquote, soulmate in this lifetime. And although the passing may be short in terms of hours, minutes, or days, the connection is there. The connection is recognized. Yes? Are you following?
Yeah.
So in this particular lifetime, there may not be the abundance of time spent, but that doesn't impact or affect the, let's say, the bond that has been created, the energetic frequency alignment that has been created. Yes?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So we encourage Very you cool. to recognize these connections, because you are crossing paths for a reason, yes? And you are not crossing paths for a reason. Coming back to the idea of no right or wrong. But when your paths do cross and there is a recognition of sorts, there is an understanding that you know one another, mm-hmm. this would be an optimal time to begin to explore that. Why are we meeting in this particular moment? What is it that we are here to do? Why does this feel as though it is so right? Let's explore this together. Let's figure that. Let's watch how this unfolds. What do we have in common? What do we not have in common? Where have we been together on this journey of existence? This is where the fun comes into being a human being. Yes.
Yes, and actually, where my question kind of stemmed from is I'm kind of fascinated that, like, this year, since like February, because I'm a Scorpio. And I have, like, attracted a lot of Scorpios to, like, my space. So I was just kind of curious as to what that has to do maybe with, where I'm to go.
Well, that is for you to figure out, yes? We could tell you mm-hmm. certain things, but that would take away the fun. You have designed this on your own. There is always assistance and aid, yes, but you have, as an empowered being on the planet, you have pre-planned this little project that you have now. What is it that is showing itself to me? What is the commonality between these Scorpios that have come into my life? What is it that we could do as a group together for the betterment of ourselves and the planet? Begin your investigation, explore your curiosities about that, knowing that there is a purpose behind everything, yes? Just like your friend here, who is now allowing her body to be used, has been inundated with people from France or from Quebec that are French, more so in the last 3 months than in the last 10 years of her life put together.
Yes.
But she's not taking the time to understand why. But there is an underlying reason for that. What is the purpose of it? That is where the fun comes in. If we were to spill the beans, well, the party would be over. Yes?
I was thinking of making a bigger party.
There's always a bigger party. Yes.
Oh. Cool. Do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, we do. We have time for one more question.
Okay. So Monday evening, I had, for lack of a better description, what I call a vibrational encounter.
They are all vibrational encounters.
Yeah, but this is intense, like super intense. Like I hear it buzzing in my ears. Like my body doesn't move. It's an intense, and I'm awake. So it's not like I'm dreaming about this. And I'm aware of things going on. Usually when this happens, a being will present themselves.
Yes.
The last time this happened was like 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago. So Monday night it happened again, and I wasn't, there was no being that presented itself, but I heard a lot of water. Like somebody was playing in water that was rushing. My bathroom is behind a door that's in my bedroom, and the door was shut. So I was perceiving it being in the bathroom. So I'm kind of curious as to what that has to do with all of what I'm creating now.
Well, first of all, beings don't necessarily present themselves as beings per se. The right. non-physical will take on any kind of form available to them that best represents the message that they are trying to get across, yes?
Mm-hmm.
That buzzing that you heard in your ear, that feeling, that sensation would be similar to if you were to stick your head in the sand and put your ear right into the sand. Do you understand? Can you visualize what we were saying? There is the vibration associated with what you heard in your ear is a representation of what you would feel should you be close to the water, specifically the ocean or the sea, with your head right. near the sand. Now think about the relationship. We'll give you some hints here, but again, we're not going to spill the beans for you. Think about the relationship between your sign, your astrological sign, this idea of Scorpios coming into your life. Now think about the idea of water, the sea, the ocean. There's a connection there, yes?
Yeah.
The message that you're hearing lies within that. So exploring what it is at this point in your life that the representation of water is creating for you, the representation of the sea, the ocean, the sign of the zodiac that you are...
Like complete unlimited happiness.
Then complete unlimited happiness is what your soul, is what your being, is what your essence is craving most, yes?
Yeah.
Sometimes the answers that you're looking for in these questions are very, very simple. They're simple reminders, they're recollections, they're indications of what is important to you. From there, if you choose, you can dig a little bit deeper. Okay, yes, I understand that happiness is what is being presented, but specifically, how does that impact my life today in this moment? What can I do today to bring forth that feeling, to manifest that feeling more tangibly as a human being?
Okay.
Your physical body is communicating with your electrical, let's say, body, your energetic body, and saying, hey, I want to play too. You can play on an energetic level, but me, this physical body, I would like this feeling as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Appeasing both parts of self. Maybe that requires a trip to the ocean, literally. Maybe that requires a trip to the sea. Maybe it requires a trip somewhere that represents all the little signs and symbols that are gathering around you, speaking to you, speaking through you, speaking directly at you in such a way that you can't ignore it, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so have fun with that.
Yeah.
Find happiness in that. We would like to thank you for this opportunity to exchange with you, to contribute in our ways, and we would like to thank you for taking the moment in time to communicate with us and putting your faith and trust in us that we are here to support you on your journeys, just as you are here to support us on ours. We look forward to our next exchange.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you.
Getting warm. well, that was interesting. How did you feel about that, Janie?
That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, you pulled that answer out for yourself based on what you were given, hey? That's what it sounded like to me. Is that what was happening?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the magic.
Can I come to the ocean too?
I know. We want to go.
Yes. Well, she's talking about that, and I'm like, yeah, because I can... I know how I vibrationally and energetically and physically feel when I'm standing on the beach. I don't necessarily stick my head in sand.
I think you should.
My first thing was like, get your head out of your butt. Okay.
Well, we all need to do that a little bit.
Quit being the ostrich.
Right. Yeah.
But the other thing is too, is one of my favorite activities is to go to the park and, lay on the ground. And that's a whole energetic vibrational clearing thing that I do. That's awesome. But the instant feeling that I get, like when I'm standing on the beach, is that feeling of, it's a combination of happiness and freedom. Like, and to be honest, that's one of my favorite places in the world to be, is standing on a beach somewhere with the ocean.
Us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and like they said, sometimes it's really just that simple. We think that there's like this big, deeper meaning, as if that's not big and deep, but sometimes it's just so obvious. It's like, yeah, well, of course.
Yeah, it's, you know, just a message.
And
right?
Yeah, you're hearing water, that sound is resonating the same vibration of the ocean. But it's so easy to overlook the obvious.
Yeah. Oh, I want to go to a trip to the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. It's true.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Yeah. So I guess my other question is I've never heard that buzzing anywhere else like that intense and that loud, unless it was one of those things.
One of what things?
One of those incidences that I haven't encountered for 7 years.
Right, right. Well, maybe it's just like a real, you know, especially associated with the menstrual cycle and the information that came out around that in terms of releasing those blockages and having an understanding of what they may be connected to. I mean, you obviously know that more than anyone, but maybe the idea is that the best place to do that is to go to the ocean, to be by the sea, to be in the environment that brings you the most peace and the most joy and the most liberation.
That's so true. And really what I'm finding is that, especially like we were discussing earlier, if you're listening to your intuition, is when we have a desire, our intuitive sense is always going to show us the path of least resistance to reach that desire. So again, it might be those two messages tied together where you're wanting to understand and shed these layers on a subconscious level. Maybe the ocean is the place to do that. Is that what you meant, Steph? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe so. Cause actually, you know what, before I went to sleep that night, what I said was, I desire to experience and receive alignment with my true essence, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Oh, well, there you go. And I think we all have different places where we feel most connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may feel most connected to that, you know, the base of a mountain or
by a creek,
in the forest or by a creek or whatever. And for you, maybe the quickest way to find that alignment is by the ocean, by the sea, with the power that's behind. Well, actually, I just thought of this. Think about the moon and the tide and how that's connected to the female menstrual cycle.
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Big dum dum.
These are just puzzles we have to put together. Huh? Well, we're out of time for today, but Jamie, it was a great pleasure.
You're always the bearer of bad news.
Well, this time.
That's why I'm not the timekeeper, because I would just keep going.
Yeah. It was a great pleasure having you on.
Oh, absolutely. Never a dull moment.
Definitely not.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun interview, and I look forward to doing it again sometime in the future.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining us here tonight. Tune in 2 weeks as we'll have with us another amazing guest named Mary Schwartz. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie or Solomon, or to book a private or group Solomon session, please go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.